Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greeting!
Oh, my word.
It was good, that. No, I like that.
Did that have something to it?
It certainly had a quality to it, yeah.
Bit of gravel in the old voice.
Greetings!
A little bit.
Greetings! Well, there you go. We're off to a real pro start there. Hello, listener dear. You join us on an evening record of a house meeting.
House meeting. It's very relaxed. It's nice to do these evening records. We don't do them. We started doing them more regularly now. We used to just do lots of early mornings. And it's a nice vibe. It's laid back.
It's a nice vibe. It's a chill out sesh. it's just three housemates sitting around chewing the beans. So what have we got to tell you? Well, look, if you enjoy house meeting, then why don't you get yourself over to our Patreon, where we have loads of other recordings that we don't put out on the main feed that have a very similar vibe to a house meeting, really. It's called Flatshare Lockdown. We kind of read a load of emails from the listeners. We mess around. We have silly features. There's a lot of jingles.
Hey, listen, let's not talk about our appearance, all right? Yes, we've got silly features. But actually, you can see our silly features, because if you're a $10 and above, you get video of us recording the episodes.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Enjoy our silly features.
If you join for like $5 a month, you immediately get access to a whole back catalogue of Flatshare Lockdowns. So why don't you get along to the Patreon and have a look at it?
Yeah, you get two new episodes every week of that. You also get a bonus beef. You get all of our jingles as well, the jingles that we put out in Flatshare Slamdown. You get those as singles. There's loads of fun stuff over there. It really is worth it. And if you can't join $5 and above, if that's a bit rich for your blood, and fair enough, then for $2 and above, you get the first 50 episodes straight away of Flatshare Lockdown. 50 episodes of Flatshare Lockdown. It's plenty to be getting through for a mere
$2. Absolutely right. Get over to Patreon and have a look. And also, if you enjoy our Flatshare Slamdowns, our live panel show, we're actually live that we put out in the first week of every month, then we are doing a live recording of one of those coming very soon.
Yes, indeed.
25th of March, Thursday night.
God, this year's whipping along already, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost March. It's going to be a really good one as well. It's going to be Susie Ruffle and Rachel Paris. Both phenomenal comedians, both dear friends of ours. It's going to be I'm looking forward to it. The last one was great fun as well. I think the last one, if you didn't catch it, was Cariad Lloyd and Angela Barnes, still available to rent for $5. So if you get yourself to eventbrite.co.uk, there'll be a link in the show notes, but if you get yourself to eventbrite.co.uk, you can search out Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown and you'll find where to get the tickets there, or go to our Twitter at Pappy's Tweet, or our Instagram Pappy's Comedy. You'll find it all there, or find us on Facebook. There's plenty of places to find it, but 25th of March, see you there. I've got an email, by the way, which
congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, you know what,
I've never had one of those.
I've had this email really account jealous. For ages, and finally someone's chimed in. This is from Holly, who got in touch with us via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, which, by the way, is a great place to send your beefs. If you want us to solve your beefs, send them in. They'll be solved by us and one of our lovely guests in an upcoming Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Holly writes, "Hi lads, please stop me if I'm wrong, but I have a distant memory of a chat involving using frozen food as ice cubes. I think we talked about that on the Adam Buxton Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, way back towards the start of lockdown."
Wow, that's a good memory.
Yeah, and Holly's got in touch to give us her story about this. "I believe the examples included various fruit, etc. Pretty harmless stuff. Attached is a picture of my friend at Nosdok Festival swilling a beverage that I believe is pertinent to this conversation. It was the first day of the festival, and in a pretty left-field move, my friend had decided to bring all her food with her frozen. The thinking being, it would last longer maybe, I'm not sure. She then faced the problem of being slightly hungry on the first morning, yes, morning, but having all of her food only half thawed. She saw that on her Scotch egg, this is insane by the way, on her Scotch egg, the meat was unfrozen, but the egg remained solid. So proceeded to eat the meat around it, leaving only the egg, which she then popped in her vodka and lemonade as an ice cube. Horrific. And she has accompanied this with a photograph of a friend looking very pleased with herself, a gorgeous croup glass with an egg floating in it. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Holly.
I absolutely love that.
It's a great story. It's a wonderful story.
I feel like one of our first ever beefs was someone complained about their housemate eating the meat off Scotch eggs and putting the eggs back in the fridge.
I think it was the other way round. I think they literally peeled them, like they peeled the meat off and then left the egg. What would be the eggshell, the meaty shell?
Right.
That was a very early Flatshare Slamdown, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah.
So maybe those two could get together and they could be
the perfect couple.
Yeah.
Makes sense. If you'd like to, if you're the person who sent us in that beef many, many years ago, it would have been 2011, and you're still still living with the same housemates. Then we've got great news for them. They're about to find love.
Well, on that bombshell, let's get into this evening's house meeting.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
What do you reckon the first ever bet was? How do you think betting came? Like, how do you think it even came about? The idea of a bet. Like, someone must have had the first bet. And, like, it must have blown the minds of the people involved to go, like...
Well, it changed the world, didn't it?
Like, Pebbly can't do that. Or whatever it is, or like...
Well, this is well,
Pebbly can't eat that pebble.
We're going back to the idea of... Yeah, go on. Go on. What's, I mean, I what came first, the chicken or the egg? Who made the first bet?
Do you know why I stopped talking? Because I was going to say, have a shit, which is a terrible bet. My chicken says he can't have a shit. Of course he can have a shit. Anyway.
Wait. Can I just wait?
If it's a pebble, though, he's probably right.
Wait.
That guy who swallowed a pebble.
Are you saying in that scenario, and I know you don't want to talk about it, but let's just drill down into it for 1 second. Are you saying in that scenario, I bet you my chicken that I can't have a shit, or my chicken has told me it can't have a shit, I'm going to bet against my chicken, or a third option?
It was a third option, which is, I bet you my chicken that guy over there can't have a shit. I don't know why you would... bet on that guy not being able to have a shit. It's a bad
bet. Or your chicken shit.
Do you think the first bet was a bad bet?
Well, in my head, almost certainly, because it will have been ill thought through, and there can't have been much to bet on back then. But also, like, the language must have... Well, it depends how far back you're going, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to know your thoughts.
Well, here's my thought. And this is probably so far off, but I feel like betting is innate. I don't feel like I was ever taught to bet. You just kind of feel like you go like, go on then. I'll give you this if you do it. Or like,
is go on then a dare though?
So I suppose that's more dare, but it's kind of a whisker away from a bet, isn't it?
I mean, we know the first dare was, you know, a bet was eat the apple. That was the first dare, innit?
Eat the apple, and I bet you, once you've eaten it, you can't have a shit. That's the bit they left out of the Bible, that the serpent... Because he tried a lot of different techniques to tempt Adam and Eve, and the apple was the one that eventually won through.
Who trusts a talking snake, for fuck's sake?
Without eating the apple, would we not have shit? Is that what it comes down to? It's like, we were born in the Garden of Eden, no one was shitting. But then once we broke the pact and we ate the apple, we were cast out of the garden and we had to take a shit.
It's been a long time since I've read that bit of the Bible, but that's my understanding.
There was like a laundry list of things that was like the consequences, wasn't there?
What was the
childbirth being painful was one of them.
What?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I'm certain that's in there.
Up until then, everyone was just popping out, no probs.
Well, they'd only been Cain and Abel up to that point, hadn't they?
Yeah, they'd slipped out real smooth.
Yeah, but then
came out singing and dancing.
But then they murdered each other, which is pretty painful.
They had it too easy.
Yeah. I thought they came after Adam and Eve.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
They're the only people who've been born, aren't they?
Famously, Adam and Eve came first.
Yeah, I was going to say. But I didn't even have the courage of my convictions to like...
I mean, how do you know the weird details like childbirth being painful, but not the central character's origin story?
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I bet you I know more about the Bible than you. I bet you a shit.
Who's the main character?
In the beginning, there was Cain and Abel.
Famously, two brothers off to start the whole of the human race together. I reckon you'll be able to find the first bet in the Bible then.
Oh, this is good, yeah.
It's not Cain and Abel, is it? Like, I bet you can't
kill me.
I bet you won't murder me.
I bet you this hammer, you can't kill me.
I bet you we're the first two people around. Right, Mum and Dad. Oh, shit. Should never have taken that bet. I'm a fool to myself.
Oh, you better kill me now.
Pretty big. Do you think that's what it was? Out of shame.
I tell you what, the Bible gets pretty bleak pretty quickly, doesn't it? When you think the first four people on earth, already two of them have committed a cardinal sin, and then their two offspring, one kills the other one. It's like, it's a bit off from the get-go. Like, if the human race was a series on, like, Netflix, I would very quickly be like, I think this is a bit too bleak for me.
Are they a crime family?
I'd be out episode one.
Are the first family like a criminal family? I mean, they aren't they?
The Sopranos.
Yeah, or the Bidens.
They're like the rough. They're like the rough family in the neighbourhood, aren't they?
It's like they're the only family in the neighbourhood. You've got nothing to contrast them against.
You've got God, don't you?
Oh, that's true.
He's constantly like. Them downstairs. Oh my God, the noise. What are they doing down there?
Put some clothes on, for fuck's sake.
It does sound like a good sitcom trailer, that. They're the roughest family in the neighbourhood. Because they're the only family in the neighbourhood. But then, end of series one. Kane. God. It's like, fucking hell. It's taking a turn.
To go back to the things that then happened after, apart from the pain of childbirth, because they realised they were nude. Is that right? Because they were trotting around in the nude, and then they realised they were nude, and they decided to wear fig leaves over their genitals.
Yeah, it's a really weird story, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's the first story. They were still, you know, like, it's the first story ever written. They're still ironing out the kinks of story writing. Was the first bet? I
see people naked in the garden.
Fit over your cock. Was that what it was? Sorry, Clarky, what did you say?
I said, two people naked in a garden is my kink. Because he said ironing out the kinks.
Don't worry about it.
It had gone so far away, it just sounded like a confession.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I was like, I suddenly was like, oh, right, Clarky wants to, you're more than welcome to open up, Clarky.
What was also my kink?
What was Clarky's first kink? I'd love to
original
know.
Kink.
it's a mad bastard story, isn't it? And I think, not like, I don't know what age you start to rumble that it's a mad bastard story, but like, for a while it really holds up as a, like, in your head as a kid, this thing of like, there was a first, there they are, and then they have some sons, and then it goes bad, and like you kind of, but like it doesn't. How it's managed to sustain is anyone's business.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Tom. It's that it's taught to children who are very happy to hear a story about a talking snake. You know, most, you know, obviously we've both got little kids. Most stories you read to little kids, most children's books, are about talking animals. Somewhere along the line, a talking animal is going to crop up. It seems like that is, you know, kids' story writing 101. So that's why we, you know, I think if you had to learn, you know, if you had to learn Christianity at the age of 35, it would be a harder nut to crack, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And yet it happens. People get on board late and they're like, yeah, I'll buy it. Adam and Eve, off we go.
Hi, Adam and Eve it.
Yeah. I do Adam and Eve it. Or as Clark used to say, I do Cain and Abel it.
Cain and Abel ate that orange off that tree.
Hey, it was Cain and Abel, not Cain and Steve, all right. It's a weird phrase, but I'm sticking to it.
You know what I say? Every morning I have a nice glass of water and I would just watch my Cain's apple bob up and down. I say up and able.
So what else? What else, Clarky, happens to them then? So the punishment is you're embarrassed about being nude, which I'm going to level with you. That's affected me.
That is a punishment.
I feel that now. Do you know what I mean?
Like, don't, Tom. What are you talking about? You're the most willing to be nude person I've ever known.
You are. You're like Mr. Natural.
But there's like a stigma to it, isn't there? It's just like, get over it, guys. And it's like, so you're saying be there if it wasn't for bloody Adam and Eve.
The fact that everybody else feels it is the problem, not that you feel it. Yeah, everyone.
No one would bat an eyelid if it wasn't for bloody the old snake incident.
I've remembered another
one. The old snake incident is part of the problem, Tom.
That's what I call it. That's what the police called it last time.
That's why people are batting an eyelid.
Or just shutting them.
What else? What else is there? Do you know any of the other ones?
There was punishment for the snake, wasn't there? Wasn't it? It's like you'll have to crawl on your belly for the rest of the time. So I don't know what the fuck the snake looked like before.
Whoa!
I mean, I imagine a lizard, but then lizards already exist. So
what was it? What was he like, a pogo stick or something? He looked like Tigger's tail.
He had a car. He got his car taken off him. It was like an old school grounding. Right, look, we're taking the metro, I'm afraid. You can't have it.
The mini metro. Oh, yes, please.
In the beginning was the mini metro.
Is that where grounding comes from as well?
Grounded.
You've been grounded.
You've been grounded.
Did your parents just mean that you have to lie on the ground, lie on your belly for the rest of the
I had to do planks.
You can go out with your mates, you just can't stand up.
So you have to plank every time. You must have had a tremendous core, which is actually what the snake said to... you should try this apple, it's got a tremendous core.
Got a tremendous core. So hang on, the snake was the devil. That's right. Is the snake the devil? Or is the snake just a bad snake?
I think it's a devil.
Well, is it?
It's a bad snake. I mean, hang on. I am getting this confusion. Crosby, you are right. Are we talking about the Gruffalo?
Listen, no, wait. This is a good point, though, because if the snake is the devil and God punishes the devil and says you've got to crawl on your belly the entire time, isn't he going to go, well, actually... up yours. I've already left heaven.
Yeah.
I live in hell. I've got these cool horns and a pitchfork. I'm not going to crawl around on my belly because you're not in hell to sort of stop me doing it.
The way I was looking at it was the devil took the form of a snake, which presumably had legs. And then they said, right, to punish you, all snakes now have to crawl on their belly. Now the devil's fucked off. He's no longer a snake.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Quantum Leap. Like Batman. It's like if Batman got caught having a piss against a war memorial and they were like, right, we're going to go and shoot all the bats now. And it'd be like, what? And it'd be like, yeah, some dude dressed as Batman was having a fucking piss.
against the war memorial.
Yeah, you know.
You remember that? He was on the lash. News a while back.
He was on the lash. He was dressed as Batman. It's like, right, steady on, boys. Get your rifles. We're going to go shoot all the fucking bats. And all the bats are like, hang on. Because the devil was only dressed as a snake, right? And for that, the snake's lost his legs or his car or his mini metro. It's a bad story.
It is a bad story. A little caveat. I'm not entirely sure anything I've said been right so far.
Well, that's never held us back in the past. Let's not worry about that now.
I've got a feeling the serpent wasn't the devil. I don't think.
I mean, it was just a bad snake. That sentence.
I think it was just a bad snake. I was just going to say there was a bad snake going around.
It was a bad snake, and it was a bad apple.
It was bad stuff. Bad fruit. I've got a feeling the serpent was just up to some tricks. I don't think it was the devil itself.
So, if the punishment to the serpent, who at that point had some sort of
feet.
How do they know which ones are snakes and which ones are all the other reptiles that look like snakes with feet? Like how are they deciding?
It's because snakes used to just have one big foot at the bottom of the tail.
If anything, it was a relief. They were pleased. If anything, they were like, bloody hell, this was a blessing because we were fucked on one foot.
Honestly, the pain. They're always at the chiropractor having to have their spine cracked back into place, weren't they? If you're hopping around on one foot where the foot, your leg turns immediately into your spine, which turns into your neck, which turns into your head. Oh, no wonder they were having to get their kicks by telling people to eat apples, because you'd just want, otherwise you'd be there in sort of chronic pain wanting to murder yourself.
It's also pretty bleak that an apple must have been the naughtiest fruit in the garden, right? Think about how bleak, for all the press that Eden gets for being wonderful, that the forbidden fruit was an apple. It's like, come on. That's as good as it gets. Are you shitting me?
But it's never referred to as an apple in the Bible. Is that right? It's never it's always called.
Fucking hell, we are blowing up some fucking myths and telling some truths here.
In your mind's eye, then, if it's not an apple and it's the forbidden fruit, it's the best fruit in the Garden of Eden, what fruit is it?
Great question, everyone. We've started with a great question. We've moved on to a great question.
And in between, Clark, he's told us one of his kinks. So it's been an up and down episode.
I've been up for most of it, I'm going to tell you. House meeting.
Can I get this pizza delivered to an eating? House meeting.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So hang on, are you telling me someone's imposed the apple into proceedings?
Well, I think quite a lot of the Bible has been imposed along the way. Because it's been translated and retranslated, you know, according to the whims of monarchs.
The first monarch came along and was like, look, this story of two brothers who were living in a garden together to start the human race. Let's change that up, shall
let's
we?
Let's give them parents.
Let's make them a bloody man and woman, shall we? Let's give them parents, for God's sake. Basically, we're going to go round and see what our forbidden fruits are, isn't it, really? Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Here we go.
Clarky?
See, my favourite fruit and the fruit I think it should be are two different things.
Does it have to be a fruit?
Yeah.
I was going to go with a loaf of sourdough. But that's only because I'm off bread at the moment.
A loaf of sourdough hanging off the tree of knowledge.
Are you? You're off bread, boy.
I'm off bread, boy. It's absolutely terrible decision.
Are you getting any benefits?
I guess, I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, I'm kind of trying to stop putting on weight and shit a bit better. I guess if you call those benefits, then...
Is this, listen, is this because of the bet I made with you? Just let it go, mate. Just post me the quid.
I'm a proud man. I'm a proud man. I'm not. You're not getting my pebble, mate.
I believe that's the problem, isn't it?
Have you had your pebble yet?
Cherry for me.
Cherry?
Absolutely a cherry. Oh, yeah. Saucy cherry. Sexy, sexy. The sexiest fruit. Well, no one says you've popped your raspberry, have they? No one goes, oh, have you lost your plum? No.
Oh, lost your plum's a different thing, isn't it?
Because my favourite fruit, I would say, could be sexier than a cherry.
What's your favourite fruit?
Strawberry. Strawberry and cream. Strawberries and champagne. It's a sexy fruit.
What did you get? Is Wimbledon your kink? Is that your other kink?
It's a bit like a garden, isn't it?
It's two men in a garden. Yeah, it really is. Are you watching Wimbledon? Lawn, a fucking
lawn. Lawn tennis is Clarkie's thing. Oh, they're in the garden. Oh, they've got the strawberries and cream.
Clarkie's been banned from the mixed doubles. He's the reason they've got a roof. He almost put hole in it. Honestly, the last time Clarkie was there, Clifford had to sing a song for ages while they cleaned up.
It's not raining, folks. It's sleeting, Clarkie.
It's sleeting, Clarkie. Hallelujah.
It's like a fucking snow globe in here.
Famously, one of the seven plagues.
One of the seven plagues was Clarkie's phone party.
I never thought I'd be nostalgic for the boils, but this is terrible.
Oh, for the love of God, take my firstborn, please.
Bring back the locusts, for God's sake. weird that locusts got to play a part in the plagues. As a kid, you'd be like, that sounds pretty cool, actually. Wouldn't mind loads of locusts coming round. Well, you didn't
come in round.
You'd never seen a locust in your life, had you? You know,
you grow no, up. No, I guess you, up, you might have seen a grasshopper or a cricket. That's kind of the closest thing you've got to it, and they're quite friendly.
They're fucking really friendly. They're like the Disney. You know, they're the friendliest creatures when you're growing up, I think.
But you still get plagues of locusts, and it's
yeah, but
brutal.
Not in Wolverhampton.
Not in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, but then the Bible wasn't set in Wolverhampton. I know.
Me and Tom were taught in our church, albeit it was in Wolverhampton, that
me and Clarkie were banned from our church garden. Okay, that's all you need to know.
Are you Midlands Mormons? You believe that
we're trying to wreck more than just a tennis net? Okay, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying like. You only process it from what you know, don't you? So you're there in Wolverhampton and you're reading about the plagues and you're like, oh god, boils, horrible, death of the firstborn, well that's my sister, I can take it. You know, the river running red, you like go, god, okay, the river turning to blood, you're like,
I mean,
shit,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty epic. It's like, you know, it's epic, epic stuff, dude. But pretty epic, dude. But you know, is it, what, come on, raining fire, was that one of them?
I mean,
sloth.
That does sound bad.
What was the other ones?
Sloth.
you confuse it with the seven deadly sins there.
There was that one where they stapled food to the guy's hand and they made him eat it. Yeah, yeah. And then the final plague where your wife's head turns up in a box. I know what I'm talking about, guys. No, I mean, you can only process it through what you know. And like, you're sitting there in Wolverhampton, you're thinking, oh, a bunch of grasshoppers. Yeah, we'll all have a nice time. We'll get out in the playground at break and... You know, chat to one of them.
Plague ground. Am I right?
Get down in the playground.
You're not wrong. I can tell you that for nothing.
Nothing wrong with it, Clarkie. We enjoyed the hell out of it.
I'll tell you what, locusts would play havoc with Wimbledon. I tell you, if the locusts have their way with Wimbledon, you know the way the tennis court feels at the end of Wimbledon where there's those big... I'm boring myself already.
I was going to say, how do you know what the tennis court feels like at the end of Wimbledon? You've never been. You're making it seem like you were, you know, yeah, sure, I got knocked out in the early rounds, but I did place. What does the What does the tennis court feel like at the end of Wimbledon? Are
you? Okay, so talk us through.
If I cut out sourdough, I swear, give me 2 years, I'll be in Wimbledon.
I'm feeling good, boys. I'm feeling good. At the start of Wimbledon, it looks like a bloody snooker table, doesn't it? It's like a green carpet. And by the end, after 2 weeks of championship tennis and absolute globules of Clarkie raining down, then it's kind of like you have big bear patches, like muddy patches, and it's like it looks really threadbare. And it's part of the beauty of lawn tennis is you've seen the journey of the tournament play out on centre court. But you know, obviously, like I'm just all I was saying was like if locusts have their way by the start, by day one,
by day one,
it's the French Open. You know what I mean? It's like brown clay.
Again, I don't know the references here, but
absolutely why I tried to get out of it while I could.
But anyway, to answer your question, I would say passion fruit.
Oh, very nice.
I just think there's something quite, you know, they're slicing it open and scooping it out. It feels.
You could
very
put your
erotic.
Knob in it. Yeah.
You could put your knob in any fruit.
What about a fig as well?
Hold on.
Fig odd. Oh, that sounds like the first ever bet, doesn't it?
All right, here's this raisin. Go on then, mate.
Do you think they edited the Bible? I was going to say
that's one of the first. The first king came along and said, "Look, hang on, we can't have this story about a guy sticking his dick in an apple going right." The old apple corer. We can't go for that. Let's change it a little bit. Let's have his missus have a bite out of it. Okay, I'm happy with that now. Okay, so if you're the first king to come along then and have his way with that story, what are you editing? What's your spin that's going to make it slightly more palatable or, you know, play to your own agenda, if the scholars are to be believed?
Well, yeah. You'd get... I mean, the first thing you do...
As a king, please, Matthew.
Hello. That's good. Hello, my royal printmaker. I would like you to change the first story.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you?
You know, I've been printmaking all day.
I can imagine it's quite tiring work.
Oh,
here.
My God. I'm bored of it.
Here, have a golden coin.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, great.
Listen, and listen.
Wait, I know what I want to do with this coin. When was the last time you had a shit? I feel I could double this coin here. Yes.
It was this morning. Now.
I've lost it. There you go. Easy come, easy go. That's the life of a printmaker. The money comes, the money goes.
It was this morning in one of my many identical toilets. Anyway, listen, printmaker.
Printmaker. Listen,
printmaker,
I'm still...
Printmaker, make me a print.
Okay,
of the
that's
Bible.
My job. Yes. I am using... You know I'm still using potatoes. You're a very early king.
Okay, so, printmaker, yeah. Make me some chips.
Much better. Oh, no. Sorry, you want to talk to the chef.
Sorry.
You want to talk... You got me confused with the chef.
Chef.
Oh, sorry. He wants French fries. Sorry, pomme de terre or whatever it is. I don't know. Anyway, look. Maybe. Can I just do you a picture of the Bible instead? Because that's one spud, isn't it? At the end of that.
That is a one big spud.
I'd gratefully accept you carving the word Bible into a potato and passing it off. I mean, let's face it, at this stage, most people can't read. So just,
exactly.
I mean, just carve something. In fact, no, I tell you what, carve a picture of me, the king, into a potato and have one in every hotel room in the entire, in the top drawer of every hotel room in the entire land, in the entire country. That is my first demand.
Can you, for your second demand, can you create hotels?
I should have had that as my... I've really Cain enabled this one, haven't I?
You've got it. You've put the able before the Cain, mate.
I've abled before me Adams. Anyway, thank you. Thank you so much, printmaker.
No, don't mention
Have
it.
Have a
thank
warm
you,
jewel.
Oh, what, who are we? The chef? Take that, you French bastard.
Oh. I died as I lived. Being stabbed.
French. French. I died as I lived. French would be a really funny, it'd be really funny last words for a Frenchman.
But do you think weirdly it would be very jingoistic if you said I died as I lived British? It would be really, I mean,
I bet someone has done that. Did someone ask him?
I reckon, yes. I reckon that's what that's how Mog will go out.
Mogwai.
Mogwai. I'm Mowgli.
Mog?
Who's
the
Moggle?
Jungle Book.
Who are you talking about, Moggle? Are you talking about someone who's like a normal person in Harry Potter? What is this? Who's Moggle?
Is Moggle in the Night Garden?
No, isn't Moggle one of the characters? Is it Hoggle from the Labyrinth? Who is this?
Jacob Rees-Mogg he's talking about.
Oh, Jacob Rees-Moggle, of course, Jacob Rees-Moggle.
Jake, the Night Gardens, what happened to the Garden of Eden after...
Well, when there are two people in it, so you don't want to be
around. It's like Hollywood... I'm not seeing it, but it's like Hollywood, Hollyoaks Nights, right? The Night Garden.
What? I'm sorry, Clarky. I'm sorry, that wasn't fair.
You fucking what, mate?
You fucking what?
House meeting.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Can we try and pin down some of the things that they punished? So the snake had to roll on his belly. The wife had pain in childbirth, and the husband
got an Adam's apple
as punishment.
I think he was just so surprised he got he choked on the apple.
But that's why you've got an Adam's apple. That's why men have got an Adam's apple, because it's representative of the apple getting stuck in his throat.
That's not in the Bible, is it?
Is that not why the Adam's apple is called the Adam's apple?
I think it's called the Adam's apple just post Bible. I think.
Well, of course.
PB.
Of course, post-Bible.
No, but it's not in the Bible, is
right,
what I mean
okay,
to say.
Okay, but I thought it was because he ate the apple, it got stuck in his throat, and that is why we have an Adam's apple now. Is it not like, because, is it not the same as the reason why women have one less rib or one... No, one more rib than...
Isn't that
they can nosh themselves off? That's
yeah. We talked about this before, though. I mean, definitely talked about noshing ourselves off, but...
It'd be rude not to.
They don't have a hung rib, isn't it?
What?
Hung rib?
Isn't it that that's what it was called or something like that? Right.
That wasn't punishment, was it?
That's how they got created, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's
but
right in the Bible.
Women just have the same amount of ribs as men. Women also have Adam's apples. They're just not as pronounced.
I mean, surely we've covered this before as well, but that's batshit, right? That he had to take a rib to make a person.
If you could make a person in the first place, just make another person. You don't need to get... Like, it seems mad, doesn't it? Yeah, you're right. Why did he then have to... And, like...
Can you imagine Adam at that point? You're going to do what, mate?
I mean, yeah,
I'll stay on my own, thank you.
The first operation, and we're talking about I don't know, because maybe this was one of the punishments, but we're talking about presumably this is pre-anesthetic. None of that's been created. God's having to go in, but you know, he's probably just getting like a sharpened stone or something and just chiseling it out that way.
We're back on pebbles. Please don't pass a sharpened stone.
In the beginning, there were pebbles. I'm embarrassed to say I'm not sure I know any other creation stories, though. So I think there's one in New Zealand where it's like the like a god that pulls up land from under the ocean, which I kind of felt that feels closer to the truth.
You've not seen Moana, mate?
Yeah, that's it. There you go. Yeah. That's the guy. Absolutely.
Maui. It's great. Maui.
They talked about him a lot in New Zealand, so like it's like that's right. Their creation story. But like that's a good creation story, right? That feels like geographically that's kind of quite close to what probably happened. Yeah. If you were a scientist, you'd probably be more happy with that one. than like. Do you think the Garden of Eden story kind of fuels our kind of like celebrity kind of like eye-centered kind of culture? The fact that we all stem from this kind of like celebrity couple, like they are, because they are kind. There's like a touch of like the royals about them, or like the Kardashians, or like that kind of. We tend to like when you think about the big couples in the world, like. You got to stick Adam and Eve up.
They were right up there. They were the Posh and Becks of their day.
They absolutely were. Yeah, and like you know, and I don't know who was the murderer, Cain or Abel.
I don't know. I think Cain. I think Cain murdered.
It sounds like Cain's nasty. Cain sounds worse, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Cain murdered Abel.
Okay, but here's a weird thing. If Cain's the murderer, you meet a lot more Cains than you do Abels.
Huh?
Yeah. Right?
Wait, like, I'm not sure I follow this.
Tom hangs out with a lot of murderers. We should say Tom's in prison at the moment.
That's why I'm not eating bread. They're not bringing bread. It's porridge every day. No, how many Cains, do you know, how many people have you met in life called Cain, right?
Yeah.
Some?
Yeah, yeah. Some people call Cain. Some. Is it spelled the same way? That, I mean, I know that doesn't really matter, but...
How many people have you met named Abel?
Yeah, true.
So when you think about...
There's Abel Ferreira. That's the only one I can think of. And I've not...
You've met Abel Ferreira?
I've not met Abel Ferreira.
Did you ask him about his Rochers? Famously, Ambassador Abel
with
Ferreira.
With this bad lieutenant, you're really spoiling us.
A critic must have said it.
Someone surely.
I tell you what, I watched a documentary about the making of Bad Lieutenant recently. Oh. And something I didn't realise is obviously that famous scene where Harvey Keitel is at the car window.
Yeah.
It turns out there was just tennis coverage on the radio. he's just a really big fan. It was just the semi-finals of the US Open. He just couldn't help himself, you know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
New balls, please. He was just having a good time. You think about the first ever original bad boy, Cain, you know.
Yeah.
He's the one people tend to name their kids after much more than Abel. You don't meet any many Abels.
No.
It's true.
The other thing about Cain and Abel that was just occurred to me is that they had... So Adam and Eve, first man and woman, they have sons, right?
Yeah.
What's the next step?
Oh, yeah.
What happens now?
I've thought about that.
Abel doesn't go back to Eve, does he? I mean,
did they have a bunch of kids, though, after Cain and Abel?
I think that's the... That's the hope. No, I think.
But even that's not a great hope, is it? Because there are still all the kids.
It's a narrow gene pool to begin with, sure. Yeah, but you can't hold that against them.
No,
no wonder Adam's sticking his knob in some apples. Actually, it was the safest place. Shouldn't have punished the guy.
Is that why if somebody has a very big bell end, it's called an Adam's knob?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
If you've got a big red bell end with a leaf sticking out the top of it, it's known as an Adam's knob.
Did you just know a guy called Adam who had a big knob?
Yeah,
because that guy's knob was known as Adam's knob. It does smack of unoriginality. And don't get me wrong, because I don't have a go. I think it's a nice name, but if you call your son Adam. It's a bit Route 1, isn't it?
Like, it really like, is, yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, do you know what I mean? Think a little bit outside of
the very first name. Classic?
Although, it's the ultimate classic, isn't it?
If you're going really Route 1, and I've never heard someone do this, God. Are you allowed to call your kid God?
Who's going to stop you?
There must be a God, because there are definitely Jesuses, but or Jesus.
There's Muhammad's, there's Jesus's, there are prophets, but like God.
There's not a lot of Allahs.
It's a big
There's
problem.
Allens.
There's Allens, yeah.
Which is near enough, next but not thing. Quite.
Close.
Yeah.
Allen obviously famously means next to God.
But yeah, I mean, could you call... I mean, I know there are rules against calling your kid, like, president. Isn't that, like...
Oh. Or I thought you were going to say, like, fuck.
I mean, I think they're...
President Fuck. President Fuck's quite a cool name. This is my son, President Fuck. No one's gonna mess with him on the first day of school, are they?
President Fuck would be the most straight-laced kid. It's like an inverse boy named Sue. You give him a name that sounds like a fucking Dead Kennedys album, and he's going to be Mr. You know, he's going to be a chartered accountant.
Straight
President.
A's.
This is my son, President Fuck.
He's doing business studies at De Montfort Uni, actually. He's got a first. Really proud of him. He's chartered accountant. President Fox Accountancy. PFA. Yeah, but the thing about calling your son God, like, obviously, we're mankind, aren't we? And, like, you have a child, it's mankind. And you go to the fucking original. Adam or Eve, sorry, we shouldn't leave Eve out.
Yeah, well, Eve's not as popular, though, is it? But you know, there's plenty of people called Eve, a lot more people called Eve than Abel, but it's not as common as Adam. I've met more Adams than I've met Eves, right? It's not got the, you know, would you think that's fair?
That's absolutely fair. Name?
Eve's a full name,
Well, Evelyn.
Yeah, it could be longer, just like you could have Adamantium. But you can also call a kid Adam as well. I call my kid Adam Antti because I'm a big fan of Wolverine. If it's a boy, it's a toss up between Logan or Adamantium.
Yeah. And the full name of Eve is Evergreen because of big Foo Fighters fans.
It's Everlong, just for Foo Fighters. I mean, as a Radio X DJ, I can't let that slide.
I was taking a real punt there.
Who's Evergreen by? I'm going to take this moment and make it last forever. Is that Will Young?
I mean, it sounded like Will Young, but then that's... Oh,
Caution saying yes, it is. Yes,
Caution.
An immediate
for the first time.
Yep.
I think Corsham did actually contact us very early in this chat to ask if you want any facts checked.
She's just left a message saying, I have so many tabs open. It's a fucked up story. It's no real wonder we're in the mess we're in, really. If like, you think very early doors, we're told, you had this perfect place and you fucked it. And you were told not to do something, and the woman fucked it.
Yes.
And she fucked it for the man, and let's blame that.
That's
and
so now true. This,
and like, oh, the, yeah, and yeah. Actually, an animal fucked it for humans as well. It's like, so you can't really trust animals. It's a mess. It's an absolute sorry mess. You get the creation story in therapy, and the therapist would have an absolute field day.
Yeah, like if God is like the ultimate teacher, right? Which is sort of what his position is. Then
this is where we get to our evangelical part. Sorry, strap in, listeners.
Yes.
Bring it in, Crosby. Have you turned to Christ? Anyway, carry on, Matthew.
Have I turned to Christ? I mean, I've got long hair and a beard, so yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'd say it's
aesthetically speaking, you have.
It's for others to say that I've turned to Christ. It's not for me. So the first thing you shouldn't do with children is tell them they're bad, right? That's one thing you should never... You shouldn't tell kids they're bad because, you know... You
should let them discover it themselves.
Exactly. But it just reinforces the idea that that is who they are and that is an unchangeable thing. So that's so true. And also, yeah, like you say, blaming the women as well. There's the patriarchy right there. Yeah. And
basically, if your kid went to school and wrote that story in class and handed it in... The teachers would read it and go like, I think we'd better get the parents in and have a chat about this kid.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of fucked up shit going on.
We'll have a chat about the parents. What have you been teaching them?
Well, then the parents come in and it turns out they're just two brothers.
No,
That explains a lot.
They're two brothers. You've got a kid called President Fuck. There's nothing wrong with this setup here.
And they're in the process of murdering each other.
We're in the process of murdering each other.
We're in the process. Can we make this quick? We're halfway through murdering each other.
I'm so sorry. I am on the way to murdering him. And another question I don't know the answer to, or must have used to, but don't know anymore. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because it wasn't about his coat. That was like, in my head, I was like, it's because he was jealous of his coat. And then I was like, no. It's not that. But was it woman troubles? Was it also woman troubles? Well, if it was woman troubles, then obviously we're into that kind of...
Where did the women come from?
Well, we have to get over the fact that they were obviously related in the story. That, you know, it's all a bit family wedding. But, like, you kind of have to go, like, what was the issue? Or was it over, like, a stick? Or did they lose a bet?
Was that the first ever bet? Yeah, I mean...
But, like, I bet I can't kill you. But what in your head, if I was to say now, from your knowledge, your remembering of the Bible, why did Cain kill Abel?
Go on, sorry, Clarky.
Well, I was going to say jealous.
That's exactly what I was going to say as well, jealousy.
What of?
I can't remember. But I think it was, I don't think this, but I would guess like parents' attention or something.
Yeah, I thought favourite child, yeah. I thought he...
But isn't that Joseph? That's what I do think that's a late... That's a later tale.
There is definitely, there's lots of favourite children because there's the prodigal son as well, which is kind of has a whiff of that about it.
But the Bible leans really heavily on
picking your faves.
The whole favourite. Yeah. It does, doesn't it? But like, I can't remember anywhere in the Bible being like, and Adam and Eve were playing more with Cain than Abel. So Abel was like, I'm going to bang him with my shoe or some shit. It's not like...
You think he sandaled him to death?
He sandaled him to death because of a stick.
I guess
everyone
had
in the Bible had sandals, of course.
Yeah, of course, they took them off the snake. The it didn't need them anymore.
the snake set up a shoe shop. Ironically, they're called Crocs. They should have been called snakes. Like snakes had just invested heavily in a pair of sneakers. Just my fucking luck.
It just bought a load of ladders. It's like, what the fuck am I going to do with these?
First ever game. Let's have a bet.
House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
Well, there you go. Thank you, listener dear. As always, stay tuned for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Today's episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Boys and girls, are you sitting comfortably? Well, please stop that and be upstanding for today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
Stop sitting comfortably.
In a house, there lived a spider. And that spider shat on a spindle. Oh no! Said the person.
Straight away!
Oh no!
First line.
Oh no!
I can't believe you said spindle, mate. That's well out of order.
Oh no! Said the owner of said spindle. That's right. It was John Tyndall.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Well, in fact, down the bottom of a dark, dark well, there lived a creature who had a fearsome roar, dude. And an evil glare, buddy. And a vicious cough, man. It was, of course, Ellen Hoffman.
Oh no.
Oh, beautiful. No.
Oh no. Oh dear.
In an old sandal lived a family of friendly hens. But oh dear, one of them shat in a litter.
Oh no.
Oh
dear. It was the mischievous Jenny Britton.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There was a family of little stones. Ooh. Sometimes they would sink, but in the good times there'd be a skimming. But one of those stones was a kidney stone. Oh. And it belonged to John Kimmons.
Oh no. Oh, let's hope he never passes. Oh dear. Let me tell you now. Today is the day of the big picnic.
Oh dear. Let me tell you now
that today is the day of the big picnic. Oh God.
Oh no.
Oh, someone's pissed in the lemonade. Oh, someone spunked on the flan. Oh,
oh no. Oh, dear.
And I'm not a flan of that. Oh, somebody has squatted down and done an absolute steamer on the couscous. Right on top of the couscous, and it's all curly. And currently, most fingers are pointing at Robert Shirley. Oh no.
Oh, dear.
Let me tell you the tale of David and his magic pole. He put it here, he put it there, and in the end, he put it in Richard Hole.
In Richard Hole?
No, okay. Just Richard Hole.
Oh dear.
Let me tell you the tale of a little family of mice. But unfortunately,
oh God, not the mice.
Their life wasn't going to plan, Len. Because the youngest mouse said to their parents, oh. And I'll tell you who witnessed that, and it really set him back for years, was poor Jack Scanlon.
Oh, poor Jack Scanlon.
Let me
tell you the tale of a dog who never did a poo. I don't know what started as a song.
I'll
tell it to you long and I'll tell it to you true.
Oh, no.
This was a dog whose owner had inserted several bungs into the anus of said dog, and the owner was Philip Youngs.
Oh, hooray!
Once upon a time, there was a little girl who wanted to play. She searched and she searched all long through the day. Finally, she found a good friend, Louise J. Then they both did a show.
Okay.
There was a tiny ant.
Oh.
And this ant was entranced. Yes. The reason he was entranced was because he double dropped some ecstasy. His name was Sam Francis.
Oh, let me tell you the story of a very tall and very noble giraffe. He would eat from the trees up tall and up high, but he could never drink from the low, low well. And that was his cross to bear. And the giraffe's name was Aurama Fossua. Oh, cross to bear Fossua. I'm going to allow it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I allowed myself that.
Well, that was a lot of fun. And I tell you who else is fun. Peter Yun.
It was fun.
Someone drank their own puke.
Oh, it wasn't even for a dare, was it, Luke? Oh, Luke, why?
Just
did
wanted
you
to
mate?
Know what the kick was.
Right. Right, dig in.
Here we go. Let me tell you now the tale of an ocelot. An ocelot who deep within an espadrille made their home. And that ocelot's name was Richard Combe.
Let me tell you of a spooky skeleton. All day he'd rattle his bones, and it would keep awake poor Ian Jones.
Oh, spooky.
Well, let me tell you the tale.
Well, okay. Well, all right then, mate.
Someone's painted a picture of a Naira and Bevin, but unfortunately they've used their own shit to do it. Oh, I can't even make him out. It's from Sarah Kevan.
Deliberately pronouncing her surname in a different way to the rhyme you yourself set up. And why not? We're all having a nice time.
All having a lovely time.
Let me tell you now about a family of kimono dragons. Oh, some of them had a vicious claw. Some of them had a happy claw. But one of them had a sad claw. And that kimono dragon was called Kevin Bradshaw.
Let me tell you the tale of little Timmy, who would go and do a poo all on his own.
Good for Timmy.
He'd find it so lonely until one day he met a lovely lad called Tony.
I'm going to stick my own fist up my arse. That's the plan. Oh, no, he's up to his old tricks again, is Dan.
Oh, my God. And who's this greasing up his fist to help him succeed? Oh, it's Gavin Reed.
Oh, well, no, someone else has joined the party. Oh, well, you can't fault him, especially not when it's Holly Walton.
Don't sponsor them to do it. Oh, no. Someone's given them lots of money and they've raised millions. Oh. Clearly got a bit of money to throw about. Has James Williams?
Oh, I mean, sponsoring them is one thing, but now someone's decided to give them multiple awards. Oh, dear. You've ruined this year's BAFTAs, Mark Swords.
Oh, boy. Well, they're going to be fitting it all up their butts. They'll need to relax.
Well, someone's found some special pills. Lucky for him, old Phil Hills.
Don't fund their efforts further, please. Oh, someone's delivered them a carrier bag full of cash. They can only accept it with one hand, but it belonged to Ash.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's a shame.
It's a real shame that this is the way it's gone. But of course, you know who's really to blame? Tom, brackets, Lindner, close brackets.
Oh, what a shame. Oh, well, Tom. Our story time has reached an end. Oh. And that concludes today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call.
Now, sit back down. Not on that!
Hold up. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.